Hello, listeners. Thank you for tuning into the Roll One podcast. I'm your host and Game Master, Jake Lucas. If this is your first time, I recommend you go back and start at episode one. Trust me, things will make a lot more sense if you do. If you're returning, welcome back. Hope all you Americans out there had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and if you're not American, I hope you at least had a chance to engage in some glorious overeating. I want to apologize about not getting an episode out this past week. I'd planned to, but as you know, things get chaotic over the holidays, so to make it up to you, today's episode is going to be extra long. Hooray! Going forward, if for any reason we have to miss an episode, I'll make an announcement on our Facebook and Twitter pages. So check those out. We also have an email address. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, or hell, even any pitches, just shoot us an email at roll1podcast@gmail.com. So with all that out of the way, I'm glad to have you lovely folks back, and let's just get right to the show.
After seeing firsthand the effects of the Galactic Empire's dreaded new chemical weapon, Project Firestorm, Bosch Trebia and the crew of the Iron Shrike have joined the nascent rebellion to try to stop it. They hide on the planet Gorman, but their safety is only temporary. With few resources, fewer allies, and some of the Empire's most tenacious agents on their trail, it is only a matter of time before they are found. Yet something stirs in the young Bosch Trebia, a force greater than him that is reaching out. But does it offer a warning? Or a vision of certain doom.
I snap awake and I've got my data pad on my chest and it falls forward. I'm in my bed and Bosch sort of sits up and he's it's just a vision.
You hear a bunch of metal clattering and Lima go, "Damn it!"
You hear some distant grumbling of Flint. You know it's because he hates the cold. And some welding, and you hear some welding.
I'd like to try and, you know, kind of reach out with the Force a little bit.
Okay.
And sort of see what, if that weird feeling reoccurs, I guess,
cool.
In my waking.
Roll to generate a Force point. I don't think you have a power for this, so we'll just make it very vague.
Yeah,
roll a Force.
Like, I don't want to really get any information out of this so much as a feeling of, like, if there's any feeling of, like, malevolence, just in a very general way.
You're just like, gotcha. Hey, Force, do shit be cool right now?
Yeah, like, I don't have to, like, know where it's coming from.
Roll it.
So I rolled both?
Just the one.
Hey!
Okay, so go on.
So you reach out and you feel like very in touch with something more. The galaxy feels alive to you right now.
My midi-chlorians are tingling.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like a hurt.
I know, it's awful.
Feel, like, connected to everything around you. You feel there's something more. You don't feel that there's a malevolent presence. But you get the feeling that there's something trying to communicate with you. Just like vague...
Yeah. It's like kind of a... Bosch sort of takes that as a kind of reassuring everything is as it should be. I'm actually awake kind of a thing. The power that is called force pinching yourself.
Now, you've never had a vision before this, so this is new for you.
Right, yeah. And I was, so I guess I was like, yeah, I was in my room reading. And so Bosch looks down to see what he's been reading, and it's this very it's this description of the destruction of the Jedi and their, like, extermination.
A book like that would probably be hard to find unless it's a propaganda piece that describes the Jedi as these monsters.
Well, Bosch is very adept at browsing the galactic dark web.
Probably got some pointers from Tumask.
Definitely. Tumask helped him shore up the security on his VPN.
Yeah. Tumask showed him how to, like, find an onion website.
Yeah,
this
browser,
Tor browser. Yeah,
this episode is sponsored by
Tunnel Bear. Massive amounts of
weird shit.
Yeah. Just
really weird but shit. Bosch was like, if I wanted to find weird shit,
like any teenager, you must give him a bunch of great links.
You just go explore, buddy.
To Lebo's displeasure.
And Bosch, you know, kind of puts the data pad down and you know walks out towards the main area of the ship.
Okay, so you walk out into the from your cabin. You walk out to the common area.
Yeah, I want to go make some tea. Yeah.
You see Gartatha. He's sitting there at the Jarek board, playing that pod racing game. He's been addicted to it.
God damn it!
So he's in the middle of playing it. He's really invested. He doesn't even notice you walk past.
I sit down next to him. Can I sit down next to him?
Yeah, you sit down next to him. He doesn't even register that you're there.
I look at him and I, Gar, I just had the weirdest dream.
He grunts.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
He gives you like a side eye look and turns his attention back to the podcast.
Back to the podcast.
Or the pod racer game.
Back to the podcast, just like you should, dear listener.
Focus on what I'm saying and not what I'm saying.
And so Bosch just sort of, you know, kind of just chills out and watches Gar play for a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we cut back outside where Levo is picking up those
parts,
things.
Putting them
and the description from when we first established the scene is all still the same. Flint is shivering, sort of next to him with the tea. Tumask is welding. Or the thermos, not the tea. So yeah, take continue the scene. Take it away. Actually, you know what? I'll give you guys some impetus to move things along faster. Mm-hmm. We kept back to Bosch and Gartatha. Bosch, you noticed that the Jarek board, the red light starts blinking again.
It's Fulcrum. We got a Gartation. I know. Okay, I know. But this is the third... This is the third time he's tried to call us in the last couple of hours. And... Look, just give us 5 minutes, okay?
He gets up and like he pauses the game and walks off.
And I say, I was going to have a cup of tea. Do you want a cup of tea?
Well.
Okay.
He walks down the landing ramp, growls at everyone and waves his hand for everyone to come, and then walks back up the landing ramp.
But you basically sprints. Like, imagine sprinting without your arms moving. He's still holding his arms, and he's running very quickly back to where he knows there's heat.
Yeah. So Flint runs up the landing ramp. I think Serta gives Tumask a look like, this guy, really?
Tumask just kind of like smiles back. Like, he's not going to disrespect Flint, but at the same time, he's like, yeah, I know. Yeah, and he keeps welding.
Okay, so Serta continues on. She walks up the landing ramp.
I drop the box of pots and just go, bossy, fuzzy, bros. Go up this ramp.
You head up the ramp. So Bosch is sitting at the Jarek board, and everyone's walking in except for Tumask.
All right, so I Bosch reaches over and flicks the switch.
So Fulcrum's symbol appears from the Jarek board, glowing blue and slowly spinning.
Hello, agents.
Huh?
Ooh, agents. I like the sound of that.
If you have a code name I could refer to you as, I'd be more than welcome to take it. For now, I could just refer to you as agents to protect your identity.
Yeah, we need to think of a code name.
Oh, yeah.
Do we?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's standard.
We'll get back to you on that.
It's a standard practice in several rebel cells to use a call sign.
We will let you know when we have decided on a good call sign.
Very well. We finally possibly have found a lead on this Project Firestorm and Dr. Avarice.
Excellent. We can get off this cold, miserable rock.
There is a information broker named Ven Ferrata on the planet Kalata.
So Ven Ferrata on the planet Kalata?
Yes.
If you like planet Kalata.
Starts Ferranda.
Wait, what's his name again?
Ven Ferranda. Faranda.
Kalata? Like pina colada?
Kelada.
Ven Ferran. Yeah, for us.
He's his family made the diagram.
Yeah.
As I understand it, Ferenda has a lead on information pertaining to Project Firestorm. I've set up a meeting between you and Ferenda. He's offered to sell you the information for 10,000 credits.
10,000 credits?
Beggars can't be choosers in this climate.
So you're providing the 10,000 credits, I'm sure.
Eventually, we'll have to reimburse you. For the time being, I know you're good for it.
Quick pause. Have we been reimbursed the promised money?
You haven't been paid yet, but you've gotten your 30,000 from your normal withdrawals.
Okay.
From
the setup withdrawals.
I spent a little bit
already.
Did you?
Yeah, just awesome. A little bit.
So we're going to front this 10,000 credits and you're going to pay us back later on top of the amount that you haven't paid us already? I'm just making sure that I'm clear on this situation.
That's correct. We've been having some difficulty with the Imperial presence in the area. That's why we've been unable to take Sertanuko off of your hands.
Yeah, you've been having some trouble with the Imperial presence. Grumble. He said that.
Flint's a little cold, Fulcrum. I'm sorry he's cranky.
Yeah, it puts him in a mode.
As it's like true. A personality trait?
No, it's just pretty cold here, and he's used to a warmer climate, and, I guess he didn't bring a great coat.
Temperate temperatures. That's what I like. I can't handle this freezing cold. It's bad for my skin.
He's been spending a lot of time in the steam room bay.
Biologicals and your need for comfort. Ugh.
I hope your bolts freeze.
Is there... It's fair. Anything else I could offer you at this time?
I would like to know about this Ven Ferenda. Is he sympathetic to our cause outside of the money that he is going to be receiving?
Does he know what the information he's selling us is?
He knows the information. He has it. He's been tight-lipped about it, as he is an information broker. As for his allegiance, he is no friend to the Empire, but he has no interest in joining our cause. Hmm. We've made overtures in the past. He's willing to do business with us.
I take it you'll send us coordinates?
In this data packet I'm sending you now, you'll find coordinates to a space station nearby, as well as the cantina that Ven Ferenda will meet you.
How much of an Imperial presence can we expect on this station?
Kalata is a major industrialized world, and the Empire has a large presence there.
Great.
The system is heavily monitored. However, where you're going, there is a prominent smuggler presence. People are able to avoid the law there, so the Empire won't be as stringent as they are in other areas.
Alright, good to know.
Alright, well, I guess, signing off?
May the Force be with you.
Oh, damn it, he always does that before I get a chance to say, may the Force be with you too. And I want to say it, because I don't want him to think I'm a dick.
I always feel like I should say, and also with you, even though, I don't know, it's just
it's polite, weird. Like saying...
You just say goodbye. I mean,
it's like a call and response.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I'll just say over. You know what, it doesn't matter, it's semantics.
All right, well, let's get off of this frozen hunk of rock and get into, up into space.
Frozen void.
Yes, well...
Yeah, another space station.
It's well come...
Kalata's a planet.
It's not a planet. It's not a space station. What I meant. I thought someone said space station or something.
I think
it's also a delicious drink.
The Kalata, which can only be found in Kalata.
I want to drink a lot of that Kalata.
But only on planet Kalata.
With my good friend, Ven Ferenda.
If your name's Ven Ferenda...
He has like a podcast that tells you a little bit about the planet. It's called A Lot of Kalata with Ven Ferenda.
Should we have asked more questions about this broker? Like, what they look like? Whether they are male or female in their species?
Yes, those are all pertinent questions.
Well, no. Is there a data package?
We got sent a data package. What's in the data package?
The data package is exactly as he said. He gives you the location of the starport, which will be friendly, as well as the particular cantina where you'll be meeting him at.
But no information.
No description of who they are.
Nope.
They probably know. Okay, I can fix this.
Star 69.
This would be knowledge underworld.
That's perfect because I can roll three greens and I remove a difficulty.
Really?
Nice. Yeah.
That's where they find all the Jedi's.
That's part of the
Sentinel. I could roll that too, just for funsies. I must not.
Just for funsies. What's the what would be the difficulty?
Difficulty 3. Digging up a little information on
this guy tries to be very discreet. Difficulty 3.
So wait, would this be Knowledge Underworld?
Yep.
Yeah. I'll give it a shot. I remove a black die from it.
There's
no black die, so it doesn't matter. Still, I'll give it a shot. I know things. About stuff. Is it Underworld? I don't know. Two successes.
One advantage.
Alright. So Bosch, from his reading, knows that Kalata, like you said, is a planet with an imperial presence, but there are criminal elements there that makes it pretty busy. Flint doesn't know anything. You had two successes?
Mm-hmm. I was looking specifically to dig up information about Ven Veranda.
Yeah, you don't know anything about him. You just know a little bit about Kalata.
Okay.
Leva, on the other hand, is familiar with Ven Veranda. What did Tumas roll?
Four successes.
Holy shit!
Okay.
Three threats.
So Levo has heard of him. He's an infamous, notorious information broker. He keeps his word, but he'll often twist his word.
Oh, so he's like a genie?
It's very slippery.
A devil.
Yeah. And he's been in the business for a long while. He played pretty prominently playing both sides during the Clone Wars, and he's sort of been quiet for a while since. You know that he's a Chagrian, which, if you know Mas Amedda from Star Wars, who's the Grand Vizier of the Empire. He's a blue alien with two horns on the top of his head and two that point out.
Palpatine's like friend in the Sith.
And then, so Tumas, you have four advantages and three disadvantages. Four successes. You know him. I think you probably know him. You might have worked for him. And then also because of those threats, he doesn't like you.
Oh, yes!
I figured that's where this was going.
You ended on bad terms, how did that sound?
That's good. That's really good.
You maybe were his... somewhat. You were working for him on the deep web.
Cal Masso. Like, so... So,
yeah,
so...
I was gonna say, this has to tie
so in. Tumask is still outside, like, working on the hull. And on his data pad, he gets the data packet. So he doesn't know what's going on. And all of a sudden, he sees this Ven Veranda come up, and it triggers all these memories, kind of. And he just jumps on the comms. This one doesn't know what's happening. Ven Veranda?
Veranda.
Veranda?
Ven Patio.
What's his name again?
Ven Veranda.
Ven Veranda?
Yeah,
roll the name right with him.
This is an associate of Cal Masso. I can't go anywhere near this guy. He's trouble. What are we supposed to do?
Well, we're just supposed to meet him and buy some information from him. Hopefully we don't have to, like, hang out. You know, I've met some information dealers where, like, you go over, you buy the information, and they're like, hey man, do you want to split a little information with me?
Yeah.
And like, chat?
Is he actually talking about information, or is he talking about something else?
So hopefully it'll be like a quick in and out, you know?
He's talking about something else.
Yeah. Anyway.
Tumas, you can stay on the ship and be a lookout back there. If you can't show your face with this man, then that's fine, we'll take care of it.
Yeah, eyes in the sky, or cameras over.
This one doesn't want Cal Masso to know where he is.
Yeah, this one doesn't want Cal Masso to know where we are either, if we're associated with you and your pilfering of his estate.
Quick question, who's Cal Masso?
He's a mobster that he screwed over.
Ah.
Yeah. None of us are particularly savory people.
I bet
I taste deliciously savory.
This one didn't necessarily screw him over. He just took an opportunity. Calmoso's not a good person. It's like the story of Robin Hood.
Who?
Flint puts his hand over his comm, even though it's unnecessary, and leans into Serta and is like, he screwed him over.
Like, Tumask is like still talking over this, like trying to like validate. Yes. Like, what? Calamoso wanted me to be a bouncer of some sort. This one is in particular. He has a sense. And he just keeps going on.
Now, while you're rambling like that, over the comm, Gartatha just sort of looks around and then walks like the 10 feet to the landing ramp and just looks down at you standing around like the landing ramp. It's like, why is he standing out there? And you're still just rambling.
And he's like, just like pacing now with like the welding tool. Just like,
oh, is this a
case you of don't Bluetooth know. Or crazy?
Is this a case of Bluetooth or crazy? Garthak's like, is he talking to himself?
Yeah, because like, where is Atrandoshan's ear?
It's the same kind of place.
Same kind of
place.
Yeah,
it's just a whole, yeah, right.
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay. Their armpits. They hear with their armpits.
So Gartatha, who's kind of like hunched over for a Wookiee, he sort of just like lackadaisically walks through the group and starts making his way towards the cockpit.
No.
Does Levo leap up out of his seat?
Yes.
Cool.
Immediately go and claim my chair.
So you brush past him, yeah, and sit down.
Like, no, move.
Gartatha grunts, and he sits down in the co-pilot seat, and he starts helping you flick the ship to bring the ship to life, flicking like levers and hitting buttons. So what is everyone else doing?
Strap in, friends.
Guess we're going for a ride.
I wanna just say that Flint did go out and get some. He got some cold weather gear, and it's just like he's got big heavy boots, a parka. thick pants and those goggles on top. Those goggles for when the wind comes. I just want to
protect his
that.
Big bulbous eyes.
So yeah, exactly. Big, specially sized goggle for his big eyes. And those are probably going to stay.
Nice.
He's going to have goggles from now on.
Sweet.
Tumasu also has goggles or the binoculars.
Oh yeah, I picture those as like when Rey and Egon have their goggles on.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I think.
So we have a quick montage of everyone sort of strapping in, landing ramp raising, is Tumasi is just like, oh, fine, finally gets up onto the ship. The ship takes off, takes to the sky. We have a quick shot of people in the cockpit as the stars are around, and Levo punches in the coordinates, and the ship jumps to hyperspace.
I love Hot Fuzz style like montages where it's like just real quick.
Yeah.
And like, in my head, one of them, this can be cut, whatever. One of them would be a quick shot, just like under a second, of green fingers turning up the thermostat.
Nice. And then another one of Basha's hand turning on the shower.
Yes!
The shower head.
And a brief one of the Wookiee turning down the thermostat a little bit.
All that
cut back to the green fingers turning back up even higher.
Just like this battle for the temperature.
And then another one of the Wookiee's hand going to turn it down. His hand being solid by the green hand.
Another one of the Wookiee hand pulling the thermostat up the wall.
Cut to sirens blaring, smoke filling the
Tumasu
ship.
Like welding really fast.
All right, and then it cuts to you guys, the ship coming out of hyperspace in a very similar shot, going over Kalata, which is, it looks fairly busy. You see ships coming and going. You land in a busy port area. It's temperate. And it seems to be almost like in a picture, like a hot spring sort of area. Like the terrain looks almost a little bit like where Old Faithful is. Not
Yosemite.
Yosemite, that's the one.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. It looks a little Yosemite-ish, but urbanized.
Oh, that's sad.
And it looks city. Yeah, it's sad. Imperial banners are hanging over the city. So the ship lands in the starport. I want to have a scene of. We could take it up from the landing ramp landing, and you guys are ready to head on out. What's the plan?
So Bosch is going to try and stay incognito, of course.
Okay, how are you planning to do that?
So I've got my environment suit on, right?
Okay.
I forget what it's called, which has the mask thing, and I'm also going to grab like a sort of a hooded jacket, I guess.
Cool.
A light wrap.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is Tumas going or not?
want to go, but yeah, I feel like that's going to be a little more exciting. But he's going to kind of hang back. I don't know what kind of disguise Chumas can put on being a giant Transocean.
Yeah, what would you think would be in the ship?
We shave Gar. And paste with spirit gum all over.
If you want to shave the Wookiee, that's your business. Good luck.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. We're going to fool with that.
Yeah, maybe there's some sort of like mask or helmet that I could keep on. Yeah. Maybe,
like, wrap your head in stuff.
Dang,
yeah. Look like you're in bandages or something.
Yeah.
Put your goggles over your head or over your eyes.
You have scarves and whatnot from the cold weather planet, you could wrap your face up.
Yeah. So I'll wrap up. Is there? So I want to know more about Ven, right? That's the guy's name?
Yep.
So at this cantina, maybe he's a big fan of some sort of like gambling game kind of a thing.
Sure.
I don't know what in Star Wars that like betting on like Sabacc. The creature Sabacc. Yeah. It's like those little like creature things that kind of race or fight or something like that. I remember.
Sabacc is a card game that, but we could do like there's a little like a creature race.
Right? I remember, yeah. Like, a creature race kind of thing. So he's a big, like,
he's big into, like, animal races, but, like, they're tiny animals that run around a track. But when we get to Ven, we'll do that. But he does, like, betting on races like that.
So that's kind of, like, I'm sharing my knowledge of Ven and, like, our history and things like that.
Hmm. All right.
And Levo, I'm assuming, is going?
Yeah. Cool. Absolutely.
No disguise or anything? You're just...
Nope.
Levo? All right.
Not much I can do about it.
Flint.
Flint's going to keep on that parka and goggles.
Cool.
Put the hood up over his head tails. Just try and be a green guy.
Okay. Yeah, it's about 60 degrees out around here.
Yeah, so we'll keep the parka
a little chilly.
Because the other coats that he has don't have hoods.
Gotcha. So. All right.
Nothing suspicious about a bunch of hooded and bandages. Figures walking into a shady cantina.
How armed are you guys?
I've just got my pistol. Cool. I've hidden my brass knuckles.
I've got my sword breaker.
Okay.
Or my blade breaker, rather.
Got my claws.
Nice.
I have a blaster rifle slung over my shoulder.
The whole rifle?
Yep.
And you also have your normal pistol?
It's not a sniper rifle. It's the heavy blaster rifle.
You mean the one that Stormtrooper blasters you got? Okay. I think it's just blaster rifle. You guys were saying they're heavy blasters?
They're ranged heavy.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they just...
there is a difference, rifle. Yeah, between heavy...
So you're going to be carrying a Stormtrooper blaster rifle?
Okay, no.
I just want to ask.
Wrap it up in some shit?
Let's see.
You'd wrap it up in blankets?
I'll just bring my CR2.
Okay.
That's ranged heavy.
Just want to ask, because I feel like you have it on your back and a Stormtrooper walks past and sees it.
That's a totally fair point.
All right. Oh, look like my gun.
That's fine. I still have my TT. Okay.
This is my blaster. There are many like it, but this one is mine.
All right. Gartotha goes while you guys are starting to walk down the ramp, and he lingers at the top of the ramp. Serta lingers with him.
Yeah, someone should watch the ship.
Oh, so you're actually learning how to speak his language?
Yeah, sure.
Hey. Don't fly off without us, yeah?
Gartotha just, like, stares at you for a second. Serta elbows him, and he looks at her, and he shrugs.
Flint just turns away.
I feel like that's the best way to get.
Tomas turns to Gar. This one's going out. Do you need anything? Can I pick you up something?
He growls a lot. Like, you get that he's telling you a lot of things.
Oh, gosh.
Can you write that down somewhere?
He grunts and, like, turns around and walks away. Like, how do you respond to that? Do you wait for him to come back?
If he really wants something, he'll send it to you on the data pad. He's got
your... This one is trying!
Yeah.
Yeah, might be trying a bit too hard.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I don't want to cramp your style.
Yeah.
I don't want to cramp your style, but you know, sometimes if you try to please somebody too hard, they sense that, and it becomes a sign of almost disrespect. And I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm saying that, you know, he's wrong in taking it that way. But I know your people have quite a history. So
there has been some crimes against the Wookiees, but This one wants Sar to feel welcome and part of the team.
Well, it will be important if you want him to feel welcome that you learn that his name is Gar with a G.
Not Sar?
No.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I thought you were doing that deliberately. I thought that was really rude.
No! This one feels like a fool!
Well, we'll ponder that as we travel, I think. We'll work out something. We can all pitch in and help you out on how to, you know, make friends with this very difficult Wookiee. He's a very difficult Wookiee.
Yeah, as we're walking out, Lou was like, yeah, he's kind of an asshole.
Yeah. As you guys are walking, Serta waves and wishes you guys good luck. And then starts to raise the landing ramp and walks back up it.
Cool.
Alright, so now you guys are walking through the streets. The streets themselves, there's mostly humans here, but it's pretty busy, and you see a bunch of people of different walks of life. You also see, like, the aliens that are there. There's some really weird ones, ones you've never seen. You get a feeling like a lot of people come and go around here. So you're walking through the streets. You walk past an Imperial patrol. What do you do as you're sort of like walking past these two stormtroopers who are just walking about?
Just casually go into an alleyway.
Fly casual.
Cool. Make a group stealth roll. Difficulty.
Wait, you want three. A stealth?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Difficulty what?
Difficulty 3.
I forgot how the group stuff works.
So it's whoever has the highest agility.
Yep.
And then the highest stealth skill.
So I have stealth.
I have a yellow and a green for stealth.
I have yellow and 2 green.
That's what I have.
Okay, so it's going to be a yellow and 2 green. Green. Yeah.
Versus 3?
Yep.
Okay.
Oops.
No. it's 2 failures.
Yep, 2 failures.
And nothing.
Oh, that's not one of
those. Those are kids.
Yeah, never mind.
So,
I like you.
Levo awkwardly, like, smacks on someone, tries to pull one of you guys into an alleyway, but it becomes a thing.
What are you doing?
Why are you pulling
on that? Try not to get it.
And as you're walking, the stormtroopers just sort of like look at you and keep walking past, but one looks over his shoulder and like his eyes or her eyes linger on you for a little while.
Their mask.
Yep. Their mask that just stares at you, and I assume you guys continue and like walk away pretty quickly.
I would like to casually walk away.
Cool. I'm going to flip a dark side point, and I won't tell you what.
Sure.
They recognized us.
All right, so you guys continue on to the cantina?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you guys keep walking, moving quickly through the streets. I'm assuming you're sort of feeling on edge. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, people are watching you. You get people... It almost feels like people are like looking at you every now and then. Maybe that's just a paranoia.
Yeah, I was going to say Levo was doing a lot of like looking around.
Hey, Levo. What? Would you try and be a little casual? It should be easy for a droid who cannot have facial expressions, but you are being so suspicious right now.
I'm your guard, if anyone asks. It's fine.
I disagree.
So you guys, like, arrive at the cantina unharried.
See?
I'm not even going to address that. I walk into the cantina first. Even if I have to brush past, leave.
No, fine. I'm in the back.
Alright, so you walk into this cantina. It's moderately busy, but like, what's cantina look like, you think? I want, Tumas, you get a little bit of input because you kind of know Ven.
So the cantina, it's very flashy. So there's lots of neon lights, lots of signs, lots of advertisements. Like, so it's kind of like, it's like the NASCAR of cantinas.
Nice.
So there's...
There's like, there's screens all along the walls playing different sports. It's swoop racing going on right now. So you're like, it's watching a pretty heated match on swoop racing. But you see there's a shock ball match there. You see, there's like dock fighting and a different one.
Yeah. There's a lot of people around tables like yelling and getting very animated.
There's slot machines. There's definitely slot machines.
I was
machines.
Thinking like lots of arcadey noises like...
There's these two like Kala girls, and Kala is like a type of drink, and they're handing out like shots of this particular kind of like liquor kind of a thing. They're really trying to like promote it
for free.
Like they're giving out
to
samples. Yeah, they're just little samples trying to get people hooked into share that brand kind of a thing.
What's it taste like?
It tastes
They're called brand ambassadors.
Brand ambassadors. There we go.
Okay.
That's the correct term.
It's tasty.
To see if it was tasty.
You should have rolled this.
Oh, yeah.
No,
I don't like those.
They don't like
those. I like my system might work.
It's like a green tea tequila.
Green tea tequila.
Green tequila. Like it's green tea tequila. Like, matcha, so it's like it's really gritty too.
Yeah. So they're promoting it as like a healthy drink.
You see, kind of take a shot of it and go, mmm, and then grab another one and take that and mmm, then put them both back and saunter to the bar.
Cool. So you're walking around. Now, are you guys going to be walking together as a group, or are you going to split up to try to find this Ven Feranda?
I think we should scope the place out a little bit.
Have we been given a description by Tumask?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Tumask knows him.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah,
Tumask.
What he looks like.
Yeah, so he...
Thanks.
We do know the species.
He's a Chagrin. He's older. He's wrinkled. He's probably like in his 60s or his species equivalent of their 60s.
So Tumask looks for the table with the bedding. What was that? Sanak?
Sabak.
Sabak table.
Yeah, and... well, Sabak is like poker, but he's like these little animal racing. So it's a table almost like the size of a... like a roulette table.
Okay.
But it's, you look down and there's these tiny little bipedal animals running along these tracks, and there's this larger lizard that's chasing them. And so it's like almost like a horse race to see who goes by, and everyone's like shouting for their particular painted bipedal mammal.
I like that instead of a carrot, they're motivated by fear of being eaten.
Symbolism.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to look for Ven and see if I can spot him.
Make a perception check.
Absolutely.
While he's perceiving, Flint wants to go to the betting for the swoop races and place a bet.
Cool. So you walk over towards the swoop races, you pull off from the crowd.
Yeah. Difficulty?
It's going to be difficulty one red and two purple.
I mean...
You got a despair.
Succeed, though. Oof. And it's just a single success and a despair.
So you spot him.
And he spots you.
Yeah. Your eyes lock. He's standing around the table. Now he is like two other Chagrian thugs right beside him. And he's like shouting. He's shouting like, ah! And he's looking very angry at the game. And then he looks up and he sees you, and he looks down, and just as he looks down, the little bipedal alien he betted on was caught by the reptile, and the reptile starts viciously eating it. And so he gets pissed, and he throws his ticket stub on the ground, and he walks off with his two thugs following him.
I look over at Tumask, and I say, I think you made him angry.
What did this one do?
I don't know, did you see the look on that Chagrian's face?
Maybe we should find him, buy him a drink, make him feel better.
And while you're talking about this, like, the table, some of the tables erupting into cheers, the others are, like, crying and shouting, like, oh, come on.
So Ven likes a good drink. I would definitely offer him a round.
All right. Maybe you and I should go.
Smooth things over a little.
Lebo, like, he says that and looks at Baj and goes, yeah, you're a real good talker. Let's go.
Thanks, Lebo.
So the
I'm not there for this.
Let's just go.
So the three of you sort of follow them. So they head up and they walk towards the back of the building.
Three of you being
Tumask, Levo, and Bob.
So I hang back a little. Like, I'm trying to keep my distance. I saw our eyes kind of lock, but he didn't recognize me. But there was
he recognized.
Oh,
me.
He
that
recognized.
Was a
despair. Oh fuck.
But
okay.
He wasn't. Wouldn't that be for against a stealth check? He gets a despair. Like a red die?
It's like more fun if he...
No,
you're right.
No, yeah. he is adversary and he was trying to be stealthy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a plan for what he was doing.
He's trying to
Okay, so then, like, if I know that he spotted me, I'm gonna go to the bar and kind of let these guys go and maybe, you know, not
Every
go towards
go
him.
To a cantina.
Yeah.
We split the party.
So you break off and you go.
So
to
I go to
bar.
Try to find Flint wherever he's drinking.
Races, yeah.
Yeah.
So Levo and Bosch, they go towards the They follow him through the crowd, and they watch him go to a back room where they see a bouncer. The bouncer immediately, he's a big basilisk, so he's one of those four-armed aliens that Dexter was in Attack of the Clones. With two of his arms folded across his chest, and another, like, on his hip, the third one pulls back this this curtain, and Ven Ferrando looks back, or, like, he walks in, and one of his bodyguards looks back and sort of notices Bosch and Levo, and sort of, like, gives you a knowing look, and the three of them in total walk in.
What kind of knowing look?
Just, like, they are see you here. They're aware of your presence.
Okay.
Particularly looking at Levo.
Okay. Well, so I'd like, can I roll, and what sort of check might I roll, perhaps an underworld check, to see if Ven Ferrando has any particular vices? Other than his gambling.
You already rolled an underworld check to know him?
That's right.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, you have no idea.
Hmm. Right, to tell you about his gambling. So
yeah.
You do know.
Sure, yeah. The card game. How about... Okay, yeah. Let's just see. Okay, so Bosch starts... Bosch continues walking casually towards the bouncer with, you know, not a smile, not necessarily a friendly look, but not threatening.
Well, is your mask still on?
Yes, my mask is still on. My mask is still on. Okay, so I sort of, before I start walking towards the bouncer again, I remove the mask.
All right, so the bouncer looks at you.
Aren't you a little young to be here?
I mean, how many Arcanians have you met?
What are you?
An Arcan? There you go. So, I mean, you know, I look a little bit young. It's no big deal.
Can I help you?
Look, we're just here to talk. Sorry, am I talking to the bouncer or the bodyguard?
The bouncer. The bouncer. Big, the forearm bestless. The bodyguards went back into the curtain area.
I noticed you're a recent VIP, and, I was just hoping you could give him a message that he has a visitor here.
He looks at you, he looks at Levo, and he pulls back the curtain, and he steps aside.
Okay, great, so
he's waiting for you inside.
So, excellent. I say thanks very much. I really like that extra set of arms. I kind of wish I had a pair.
That's what everyone says.
It does seem like something everyone's saying.
Yeah.
Everyone calls it out.
Ugh. Well, it's endearing.
It just reminds me I have four arms. Everyone does.
Well, so wait, so is it like people with straight hair and people with curly hair? Like,
I don't have hair.
Well, okay, but you know how people with straight hair and people with curly hair, like, you know, the people with straight hair want to have curly hair and the people with curly hair want to have straight hair?
No. I don't have hair.
All right, we'll talk about this later, I'm sure.
Bosch, experiences are not universal. Let's go.
All right, so we head on in.
Levo's gonna get you woke. I've seen the galaxy, kid.
So you guys walk into this dark backstage area. Now the camera's sort of looking at you head on, so most of it is framed in darkness, and it's now sort of the sound is dim compared to like the loudness outside. You'd hear it dimly, and it's bright and colorful out in the main area, but it's you guys are in shadowed, you guys are silhouetted, and so is the picture framing you as you're walking towards the camera. Very ominous. So you keep walking, and you walk past, there's several booths, just like private booths, but you see a Chagrian step out, he sees you two, and he waves you into one of those booths.
Great.
Alright, follow.
So you follow and you walk in. Two of the Chagrians, there's two bodyguards, are standing on opposite sides of the door, and you see Ven Ferrando sitting there with one leg crossed over the other, and his legs are like spread out. He's man spreading like crazy, and his shoulders are he's like sitting in this circular booth, mm-hmm. and his shoulders are sort of up on the back of the booth. He's wearing like almost like a long black, like almost like a duster or a trench coat, mm-hmm. And he has this sort of old ribbed gray military style shirt, and he has sort of like black slacks on and black boots with a lot of buckles on them, and you see he has it doesn't look like he has any weapons on him,
but he looks like a character from Blade.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Got it.
Except big and blue.
Except big and blue.
Yeah.
He has a real wrinkled face. I'm getting like a Mickey Rourke sort of vibe. If, like if the actor Rourke was playing
Yondu. Sure. Or Ron Perlman.
Oh, yeah.
That was the same.
Yeah. Ron Perlman or Mickey Rourke is playing yeah. Ven Foranda.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'll help you.
Kind of fun. Well, look who we have over here. No, that's not it.
Don't
you dare compete with me, Josh.
Bosch,
I would love to play this guy.
Bosch saunters over. Bosch saunters over the table.
He has to do something specific, otherwise.
Oh,
okay.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Bosch sort of walks, closer to the table and, doesn't sit down, just sort of kind of presents himself a little bit to Ven Foranda and says thank you for taking the time to meet with us here.
Oh, I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to have the possibility of business.
Business is nice.
Business always is nice. When you know how to conduct it well.
Well, we've certainly heard that you're an expert in the art, and we've been informed of your
past. I'm an old man. I don't really like to be around the bush.
Brevity. Good. 10,000 credits for the information you have.
Is that what you heard? Well, that was the original deal.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm thinking I'm feeling generous. I have information about an individual, we'll call her a freebooter. But she has the information you're looking for. The Empire's looking for her. I'm the only one right now who's heard of her, where she is right now. And I think I'm just going to give you this information as a favor.
What's in it for you?
I'm just being friendly.
He smiles wide, showing big pointy teeth.
I've heard of you, man. You're not friendly for free, not often.
Oh, no. But you know what friends do for each other? They do each other favors.
And we may owe you some kind of favor in the future?
Why make it the future? Why not make it the present?
Embracing brevity again. What do you want?
Well, we cut back to Tumosk and Flint Cross. What?
We certainly didn't make a blowjob joke there. Not at all.
For the audience's benefit, there was just a whole other thing going on inside the table that I was watching out of the corner of my eye, and it looked darling and fun. I'll say that much.
John and Alfonso looked like they were enjoying themselves.
Just the boys in the back of the classroom.
Sort of. Yeah. I'm going to have to split you two up.
See those notes.
All right, so we'll cut to Tumosk first. So you walk to a bar. It's like a tight shot on Tumosk. It's like there's people left and right, and you squeeze between to the bar, and you wedge yourself in. So how you feeling? What are you?
Tumosk is not feeling great. He knows he's been spotted. He has screwed over. So Ven is a business partner of Calmoso, and so when Tumosk screwed over Cal, it kind of also screwed over Ven. Fair?
Yep, that's fair to say.
So he, Tumas, gets a shot, not of Kala. Kala's not his taste. He wants something stronger right now.
Some of that liquid courage.
Yeah, and he downs it, and it's like, kind of like one of those, again, kind of a thing. Where, again! And he takes another shot. He's just kind of staring, like not at the bartender, but like past the bartender, and just kind of like deep thought, like trying to like plot his next move, like thinking what they could be talking about. Like, so he's like trying to like set up the chessboard in a way, if you will.
I'm going to flip this dark side point, and I'm feeling inspired. So let me really quickly.
The Inquisitor shows up in the canteen.
He has four lightsabers.
Oh, 100.
Two of them coming out of his eyes.
Extra scary. And he's only got eyes for you.
So while you're there, while you're hanging about, so I flip that dark side point, you hear someone say,
"Excuse me."
No. Do you want to do, actually, Alfonso, do you want to take this character?
Yeah.
Okay, so come up with a voice, big and imposing. Say, "Excuse me."
Do you want it to be southern like that?
No, I was just...
Can you give me something else for it?
You do. What are those good cards? Russians?
Here, I'm going to do something real quick. No, I'm going to get something for you.
I like that, though. Yeah, give me a couple more things to just ground it. I want to make sure that it's appropriate for the fellow I'm playing.
"Excuse me."
All of a sudden, two patrons are sort of pulled aside from where Tumask is, and sitting... Someone takes a seat besides Tumas. Now, this is a Togorian. A Togorian is a giant cat-like alien. Very big, very muscular, known to be very violent. He's bigger and broader than Tumas. And Tumas recognized him. His name's Bramok. And Bramok is a bounty hunter who often works for Kalmoso.
We rolled obligation for Bosch.
I know.
It happened. Well, right? this is
everyone's obligation has come up, and it hasn't really worked some in hard. So this is awesome.
And this also happened.
I was outside and I just tried to roll the dice to figure out who this guy was.
Yeah.
If I wouldn't have rolled this dice to figure out who Ven was, none of this would have happened.
That's
cool.
Okay.
"Well, hey there. Been a long time, Tumask."
"Bramok, it's been a while."
"Yeah, you've been on the run for a little bit. You know my position within the organization. So you can imagine that it's pretty great to see you here. Kalmoso's been most generous with what he's promised."
"You only have a job because this one left. Don't forget your place, Bramok."
"Hey, why do you think I sat down next to you instead of just plugging you in the back? I know I owe you at least enough to go face to face."
"Ooh.
What is it? Send your message and be gone."
"Message? No. I'm taking you in. There's a bounty on your head, and it's mine."
So
that's what you wanted, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Go.
Yeah.
No,
you're
stop.
Supposed to be friendly.
So, like, the two of you are having that tense sort of standoff. We cut to Flint and what he's doing. He was looking at the swoop races.
He has bet on Star Skimmer to come in third in the race. 50 credits.
Cool. Is gambling
now
a skill
I have
in this
to
game?
Figure out gambling.
Oh. Well, there's skullduggery, which I don't have. No. I figure we could just roll like a force point, and if it comes out good, I get my like
if
one
you
is
have
money back, two
survival.
Is double, something like that.
Yeah, roll
lose
this.
It all.
Both? Yeah, roll both, and depending upon how it goes, all right.
Yeah, I lose.
Yeah, you lose the round, but it's not like you bet a lot of money on it. So the race finishes, and
I'm not that invested in what's going on. I wonder what everyone else is doing.
I did picture him like before anyone, and I was gonna find probably see this guy near the bar.
Yeah.
It's not that big a place, right?
It's pretty big, but like you guys have described it, pretty big. It's almost like a mini casino.
It seems it does seem like a mini casino.
Like and there's lots of noises, lots of distractions. Yeah.
There's a live musical band that you're starting up, like. "Welcome to the stage!
So,
Figure Dan and the Total Nose!"
Oh. Are they big yet?
No, this is yet. Like, they're still getting their start.
One of their first games. Excellent.
They just signed a deal.
Modal Nodes, shit.
So I think
they renamed themselves later.
As soon as the race is over, Flint, like, looks around for his friends.
Make a perception check. It's going to be a difficulty one.
Okay. I got it.
Nice.
Two successes.
You look over and you see Tumask and this Togorian are looking very tense.
I'm guessing that the people around them have started to move away a little, maybe.
Yeah, some people have backed off.
Okay. Griff. So Flint wants to. Should I say I or Flint?
Whatever.
I switch it up all the time.
Okay, cool.
I don't know.
What feels right.
I'll go with Flint because I'm doing two characters.
I'm sure that the audience can tell that we are very hardcore tabletop gamers, so we're taking this very seriously.
Yeah. So Flint wants to try and stealthily walk around the casino area to behind Bramok.
Cool. Don't make a stealth check yet.
Okay.
We're going to cut back
cool.
into the back room where Venferanda is meeting with Bosch and Levo.
So that favor. I have a little tip. Spice smugglers have been ripped off by a gang of Caridians.
Spice smugglers you know?
Not ones I don't. Spice smugglers working for the Pike Syndicate. However, there's a lot of money that could be made off the spice that those Caridians stole. I just so happen to have a friend of mine who wants that spice. So, all of a sudden what falls in my lap? The individuals who just pull off that bank heist on Kariva.
How do you know about that? How do you know that was us?
Everybody knows about that, and everyone knows it was us.
Oh, damn it.
Information is the game that I
Yeah,
enjoy
I know.
The most.
That was really a stupid question to ask you in particular.
So you want us to steal back this spice?
It would be a nice favor.
And I assume you're not going to tell us who we're stealing it back for.
I have a friend of mine, Cal Mosso, who thinks he can make a lot of money off of that.
Alright, well, would you...
That name sound familiar?
Would you... Well, let me make a little proposal to you, sir. There are two other members of our crew. Would you do us...
Tumask and Flint Cross. Yes, I'm aware.
Well, would you do us the honor of, you know, having just 5 minutes to let them know what the scoop is?
What do you mean?
So they can make an informed decision. So
so you want to have a conversation.
Right.
Very well.
Just a moment.
That's fine.
Okay, yeah.
You can talk it over.
No, I mean, I'm sure it'll be fine. We'll be back in a minute.
All right.
Have we go.
All right. So you guys walk back out, and as he walks out, he looks at one of his Chad Green bodyguards. Bodyguard shrugs. He looks at the other bodyguard. That bodyguard shrugs too, and then he rolls his eyes.
They're like, why are we waiting?
That was really rough. Clumsy. Basically, what I was going for there
and did not accomplish. Mm-hmm. Was basically trying to initiate the idea that, you know, maybe we could help Tumask clear out his obligation to Cal Mosso through this heist, if we, you know.
Mm. Right. You could have been more direct with
that. That was not implied at all.
No, it wasn't, and I don't know.
So that's something that we can discuss as a group when you come see us and we have a conversation. Bring it up then. It's okay.
All right.
I mean, as we're leaving, Lee was like, I hope they're not bored.
So while you're doing that...
I send them a bottle of Corellian whiskey while we're on our way out of the VIP area.
Well, you walk out of the VIP area and you look over and you see Tumask and this giant Togorian having words. Flint, make your stealth check.
Oh, what's the...
One yellow and two green?
Actually, let me make up...
Right? Oh.
No?
You mean for the different
green? Oh, okay.
I want that eventually, but I don't have it.
Too focused on punching things.
Oh, yeah.
What's yellow? What's green?
It's going to be difficulty
2 million.
One purple, one red.
Oh my god, I hope I get a despair. I have an idea.
Damn it.
Oh my god!
Man, actually rushed it.
Five super successes stealthy. And a threat.
So, they don't see you. Bramok doesn't see you. But the threat is, neither do Levo and Vosh.
Okay.
Okay, so we just see this catman menacing
this catman who's bigger than Tumask, menacing Tumask.
All right, I guess we should go over.
Seems like it could use a hand.
I think Flint manages to sit behind at the stool behind Bramok so that he doesn't even notice him. So he's at the bar, and Bramok doesn't even know there's a guy behind him.
Okay.
That's where Flint sounds, goes. So he's like listening in the conversation, finding out what's going on.
Okay.
And he's got his brass knuckles. He's fingering his brass knuckles in his pocket. He's got one finger going around the rim with the index ready to.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. Guys are so nasty, and I love it.
It's like a weird time to get real descriptive. And hey, audience, just to let you know, audience, Alfonso was like fingering it in the air. He was like miming it.
It was. Very I want to say sensual. When you say to the audience that I was fingering it. I was making a ring-like motion as if it's brass knuckles, not penetrating a hole, okay? Yeah, no. I want to make that perfect. No.
He was it's called getting into foreplay.
I'm playing a game with a bunch of dirty ninnies. That's what's happening here.
Dude, it's 2017. Butt stuff is in play.
Butt stuff is in play, dude.
So then why does it make you embarrassed?
I'm not embarrassed. It's,
y'all are giggling like a bunch of schoolboys.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Butt stuff is funny.
Butt stuff, even though it's in vogue, is objectively funny.
Yeah. Butts and all their parts are inherently funny.
Things when he's sticking butts his that finger through parts. The hole, mm-hmm. just back and
poops.
Forth,
poops.
Back and
poops
forth.
Pretty funny.
Yep.
No lie.
Yeah. Sharts.
Sharts, pretty funny. Whoopee cushions. Very partially funny. Done with a butt. Very funny.
Whoopi Goldberg, very funny.
Whoopi
as well.
Goldberg, yeah, very funny.
She I haven't seen her in a while. She's on The View still, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't watch The View. I don't have
me either.
TV, so...
She's
great.
I just have
you don't have a view of the TV.
Yeah.
And the joke just died.
Audience, yes! Alfonso's doing it anyway. Again with his fingers.
You wish. But I'm only doing it to John's butthole.
See? Funny.
The subheading for this episode is we explained to Alfonso that butt stuff is funny.
Mansplain, also. I want to say this.
That's her.
Being mansplained.
Did anyone say, well, actually? I think we did.
Actually?
Alright.
So we see this.
So you guys see this. And it's starting to get heated. What do you guys do?
So how much of that does Flint hear?
I mean, you're listening to the conversation. You're right behind him.
So I know that he's going to take... Levels. He's going to try and take him into...
Calmoso.
Alright. Then... I want to punch him in the back.
Shit. You're gonna start a fight?
Hell yeah! He said he's gonna bounty hunt my friend.
Cool.
That's all right, because I was literally about to be like, let's calm down here.
I know. I mean, this is just like a surprise, basically.
So I think Levo and Bosch start to get there, like, whoa, and then
just
sucker punches him in the back of the head.
Totally fucking cool.
Jeez. Oh jeez. Oh boy.
Hell yeah.
Oh boy.
I don't know why you guys are sounding
You guys
this.
Have,
this
like, no subtlety at
none,
all.
None at all.
Alright, two successes for this guy.
I think he's snuck right next
him,
to him.
Yeah.
He's
rolling
that's
right
an
I mean, we're rolling initiative.
Roll.
You're going to get the attack first. Right. Wait, we're, after that happens.
We are definitely rolling initiative. Right.
One.
And once again, Levo does not have anything.
Put points into vigilance, and it doesn't mean anything.
Two successes, two advantages.
And Flint?
One success, two advantages.
Okay. Just gonna go hero, villain, hero.
Besides, I haven't gotten to punch anything in a while. I'm really good at it.
So sorry.
So, Flint's turn. Flint goes first. And he has adversary one. So
one of those purple, red.
Can I aim the punch?
No.
Can I aim the punch?
I hope so. Hell yeah. All right, so that's two... Oh, wait. One threat and four successes.
Damn.
Nice.
So that's going to be my brawn plus one plus three. So four, five, eight. Eight damage.
Cool. You punch him in the back of the head, and his head slams into the bar and bounces off. So, fight's on. It's going to go hero, villain, hero. Disadvantages, though. Threats. So you have one threat?
Yeah.
I think you're sort of positioned badly. People start to all of a sudden like back away and they bump into you. So you're going to take a black dice. You're sort of pushed against the bar. Your next check. So, hero slot, who wants to go next?
I'd like I'm to, up. Yeah. Or unless you want to take another hit.
I was thinking about taking another shot at him.
So, his head bounced like hits, and Tumas goes for like a nice claw to the face.
Oh, do it.
All right.
Tumas flying right into action.
The one time I was going to try and cool things down. I was like, maybe we'll go into the container and not punch anyone.
Oh, triumph.
Just a triumph.
But it's also a failure.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. The triumph counts as a success.
Yep.
Yeah, so you have one, two.
Oh, these are advantages.
Yeah.
So you have two advantages and you have a triumph. What would you like to do with the triumph?
What can I do with the triumph that it didn't succeed? Yeah. Right?
Can't you disarm someone with a triumph?
I have an idea.
Okay.
So you go to claw him, but he pulls back and he bumps into Flint, and you grab him by his lapels. And as you do that, the bartender raises a blaster rifle from beneath the bar and aims it at the two of you.
Ugh, I can't believe I'm saying this, but thank goodness.
There's gonna be no fighting in this bar, you two understand? You guys are gonna fight, you're gonna take this outside.
Flint's got like, we've got a tableau going. So Flint's behind the Tagorian. Flint's behind the Tagorian with one arm raised with the brass knuckles about to hit him again. His eyes are looking at the guy with the blaster rifle. We've got the Tagorian with his lapels held up in front of him.
And the crowd's pulled away. So the crowd's been pulled away.
And we're just frozen there staring at the guy with the blaster rifle.
It's just like Levo going, like, with his hand on his face.
and I want to say that Flint lowers his fist.
Cool.
Yeah. No, don't want any trouble.
And the bounty hunter will back off and leave. He realizes he's outnumbered.
All right, fine. Fine. We'll do this another time. I got my eye on you, Tumask. Your scaly hide is mine. This one was never afraid of you, Bramak. I'll be waiting.
Ooh. So Bramak walks out of the cantina. He hesitates at the door for a second, and he throws a look over his shoulder, and he like winks, and then he walks off.
Yes, I love this guy.
This guy's fucking cool, actually.
So the cantina settles down a little bit. Oh my god, Tumas gonna do this outside.
To follow,
murder him in an alley.
As Tumas like tries to go, I put a hand on his shoulder, like, no, it's not the time.
You don't know this man, Levo.
Tumas, we have a job to do.
This man is connected to Calmoso. I need to follow him.
So is our job.
What?
What if I told you I could help clear your debt with Calmoso?
Well, Flint asked
for this one repeats. What?
Come on.
Flint asks for some ice from behind the bar. and puts his hand in a bucket.
It probably hurt, yeah.
That man had a very, very thick skull.
Yeah.
The bartender gives it to you. Like, well, there you go. As long as you don't start anything in my cantina.
You got it, sir.
All right, these people coming in here.
I throw him 5 credits.
Damn, oh, man. Can the Cala girls come up to you? Like, oh my god!
I don't know if they would, but...
No, I think they see him and they're like...
I don't think they'd like that.
And they're also like, he's already had two of our drinks. These are samples.
Yeah, I think they'd be seasoned professionals and would not go to the guy who started fights in the bar.
Fair enough.
But they're not
We want to go back to the VIP area.
Yep.
And speak with Ben Ferenden.
So you're leading them to the VIP area. Do you describe the deal at all?
Yeah, we're just like, well, apparently we were supposed to... re-steal some spice.
From who?
Pike Syndicate.
It's a group of aliens called Caredians.
Yeah.
Who stole the spice from the powerful Pike Syndicate.
Yeah, they stole it from
the Pike. Oh, so it's a bunch of jabronis.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I thought it was from the Syndicate. I was getting a little nervous.
They stole it from the Syndicate.
I would like to try and know who the Syndicate is with knowledge underworld.
Make a knowledge underworld check.
Oh, what's the difficulty?
Yeah, I can do that.
For the it's yeah, one yeah, for the Pike Syndicate.
Hold on.
Oh,
yeah.
It's well
yeah, you have knowledge skills out the wazoo.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I know who they are. I have so, a success and an advantage.
The Pike are an alien species that have cornered the market on spice production. Like, the Hutts are probably the biggest criminal gangsters throughout the galaxy, but they have their hands in everything. The Pikes, when it comes to spice, they're unparalleled. They even have a bigger reach than the Hutts.
Wow.
They're probably one of the three biggest criminal syndicates in the galaxy.
Is Cal part of the Pike Syndicate?
Calmoso, no.
No, right. Outsider.
But he wants Calmoso is an independent.
Yeah.
Possibly. We'll see.
So, yeah, Calmoso wants some of this spice, and maybe it can clear some of your debt.
These people cannot be too intelligent if they've stolen from the Pike Syndicate, so
agreed.
I have a feeling that we could, that's something that we could probably handle.
But even if they're not that smart, they still seem to have gotten away with it. Maybe they're well-equipped, well-armed.
For now, until we step in. It's almost like we are delivering justice somehow. I don't like it.
This one wants to be clear.
I think you're making that up.
The priority should be the information for Fulcrum. This one can deal with his own debts.
Oh, it's cool. We already got that.
You got that information?
Yeah, we gave him the 10,000 credits and we got it.
You haven't given him
no,
the
10,000. No, we haven't done
he's
that
he's not
yet.
Accepting your money. He's going to give it to you for free as a favor.
We
as have a favor. Steal to get for like a favor. That was that whole banter
yeah.
thing.
All right.
Yeah.
So, like, we have to do the...
It's okay. I've been at this longer than you have, Bosch.
So we have to do the job to get the information.
Correct. Do him a favor and he'll do you a favor.
So, fast forward and say, this one doesn't know where his debts come into play.
Well, so Calmoso wants some of the spice. We figure if you're part of the group that gets it back for him...
He might be real thankful.
He might, you know, think a little more kindly of you.
Or at least not send people with guns to shoot you in the head.
Giant cat people.
With very thick skulls.
Yeah.
Bramak is... Thick skull, that is true. But he's not very smart. And he's not much to be afraid of.
Right.
We've scrapped before and we'll scrap again.
Okay, well then we'll do the job and you'll gain nothing from it, I guess, if you really want.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other option.
We'll do the job and you can steal Fat Brahma.
This is gravy.
You realize that they're just saying that we add in the condition of lessening, you know, the ire. Maybe removing the bounty from your head.
We'll see what Ven accepts. He's a tricky...
You are very, very, very opposed by us helping you.
You're so paranoid.
way to look a gift.
You all do not know the crime family. This one does.
I imagine you four are having this conversation right outside the VIP lounge and the basilisk is just like, arms folded, just sort of like close enough to listen in, and he's just like... It's like giving a look.
Like, how are these guys?
Like,
was like, yeah, I don't know.
Okay, let's go in.
Alright.
Wait, do we know what we're saying?
Yeah, we're gonna take it and then...
As you said that, the basilisk stood away to, like, pull the curtain back. But then when you said, do we know what we're saying? He, like... he, like, eased his grip a little bit, wondering if it's... Like, are they gonna come in? Are they gonna go? Oh,
you know, we're not paying the air condition the street here.
Listen,
you know?
I've been a dormant in Manhattan. I know this feeling.
That's awesome.
Very hard. Oh. It's true, because people are, like, on their phone, they're, like, almost in the door, and then almost out, and you're like, oh, you, okay.
So do we know what we're saying?
Yeah, that we're gonna
take the job,
accept the job with the condition that he Two Mouse's burden with the Calmoso Syndicate gets taken away.
We're gonna try for erased, and if we have to settle for lessened, we'll deal.
Okay, let's go in then. Sure.
So the
we're gonna do a deal. It's gonna be huge.
No, no, not even as a joke.
Worse than Jar Jar.
Not in this house.
So the basilisk finally pulls the curtain back, and you guys walk down.
And I go to Bosch goes to give the basilisk a pound.
He looks at your hand. He sighs and pounds it.
Yeah. Levo's like Bosch coming up the rear and sees that and just looks at him and goes, eh, thanks.
Oh, Bosch is so happy with
that. That meant a lot to him.
Also, basilisks are pretty big.
Yeah, they're huge. Yeah.
So you guys, you walk in back into the back room where Ven Feranda is still sitting there. Splayed legged, splayed arms.
Just splayed.
Yeah, he's very splayed.
Aren't we also down, I guess?
You've had your conversation.
We have.
Yeah, yeah.
To Mosk. You made it in. I was worried you might have run afoul of something. But look at you. You're here. You made it. Great to have you here. Good to see you again, buddy.
You sicked that cat man on him, didn't you?
Oh, no. I didn't sick anyone That's on funny. Anyone.
He has a very thick skull, and I put down the ice bucket.
He snaps his finger, and one of the Chagrian bodyguards drops a bottle into the ice bucket.
That's awesome.
The Ven just says, give it a minute to let it cool.
Okay.
We have a proposal for you, Ven.
Is it yes or is it no?
You think?
Is it yes? Or is it no?
Okay, you know, are you just you being obtuse, or do you want to hear what I have to say?
No, he's laying out, like, terms.
Yeah. I'm just curious.
I thought you were a curious man.
It's a flaw in my nature.
Yeah.
I'm sure you all can call it a flaw.
Can we go back a minute? Because I'm high and tired. I probably should have left like half an hour ago. And okay. Like let's go back like a minute.
Okay. So where do you want to go back to?
Just to when we sit down with Kalos, with Ven Ferrando.
Ven Ferrando.
So he's sitting on a U-shaped bench, and he's sitting in the middle of it. Where do you guys sit?
That's a good question.
Do you stand across from him? Do you like all crowd on one side?
This is a whole VIP section, right?
Yeah, but he's in like his own room. Booths. He's in a private booth.
Booth rooms.
So it's only him and his two bodyguards in the room, and his two bodyguards are flanking the doorway.
I'll stand.
Me too.
Tumas is definitely going to stand. Flint looks around, walks out, grabs a chair, and brings it in.
You walk out. There's no chairs around that you see.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a hallway lined with booths.
I mean, we're not going to be
private booths.
Unless you want to use
the lights. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's like a VIP area where it's like karaoke rooms.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But like smaller.
Yeah.
I think more intimate.
Yeah.
All right, then he walks outside, doesn't see any chairs, walks back in, his head's hanging low.
As you walk in, he's in the middle of, like, giving a look to one Chagrian, who, like, shrugs, and he's looking at the other one who shrugs. He's like, rolls his eyes again.
So we thought about your proposal, and we're going to do the job.
So it was a yes.
Yeah. We want you to relay a message to Kalmosa, since you know our friend Tumas here.
Sure. I know him.
Well, if Tumask is willing to help out an old friend from way back, maybe one of those old friends could lighten the load off of his shoulders.
You think getting the shipment of spice will make Kalmosa square with Tumask?
Maybe not square, but you know.
But maybe you could get the giant cat people to stop chasing him. Maybe you could...
Bramok? I'm not in control of Bramok.
Yes, but I suppose that you, or Kalmosa, is in control of the bounty that is on my friend's head.
No, I have no say in that.
Ven Ferrando's different. You just say the right thing to the right people.
I guess I could keep my lips sealed for the time being.
Much better.
Who's going to seal the lips of Bramok?
That's not my problem. I'm not the one who pissed off Kalmosa.
And he looks at Tumas, the two of them lock eyes. And judging by what John's been doing this entire session, or this entire conversation, he's been sitting with his fingers sort of locked, covering his mouth, and just like staring at me with like unblinking eyes.
Just remember,
time.
It's with six fingers on
so,
each hand.
I imagine Tumas is doing the same.
Yeah.
But he's also standing. So his arms are just
weird.
Sort of raised.
It's true.
Very ominous. Very menacing.
Yeah, that's it then. Give
that's
us
it.
The where, and we'll be there.
All I know is that they're on Belsavis at this point. Belsavis seems like a small, out-of-the-way colony. Not a lot there. Mostly agrarian. Mostly just farms.
Alright.
But shouldn't be too hard to find Caridians. They're not a common species you see around.
Alright.
Yeah, not since the Empire wiped most of them out.
Hmm. All right, then. If there's nothing else.
I think that's all. Unless you want to wait for some drinks.
I don't drink things.
That's fair.
Flint sits down next to him on the U. He's like, I'll wait for a drink. Wow. Hey, do you have any more information on these Gretines? Do you know anything about their organization? How many strong they might be? Who is their leader? You are the information broker.
All I know is that a group of Caridians were seen stealing from them, and a ship matching their description, and crews made up entirely of Caridians was seen on Belsavis recently.
Is this a heavily armored ship, a heavy armed ship? What are we flying into?
Don't know the model of the ship. Seemed like just a normal transport from what I heard.
Yeah, they're smugglers. Too heavily armed, they stick out.
They are smugglers, they're not major players. Probably just some idiots who got a little overly ambitious.
Yeah, I bet they don't even have a fence for it yet.
That's how I found them. They're looking for one right now.
Maybe that's our way in.
Yeah, maybe you set up us as a contact.
I'll let you handle that.
Sure.
So, we can, is there some sort of call sign that we can use to key them in that you are the fence and we are the,
Oh, I'm not getting involved. This is a favor you guys are so kind enough to do for me. This one wants to know what information you're giving us. There's someone the Empire's looking for. Someone, as I understand it, has ties to a Dr. Avaris and a Project Firestorm.
Not a lot of people know that.
She's looking for safe haven. And lo and behold, I find out there's someone else looking for information about this Project Firestorm. And lo and behold, four of the most wanted criminals in the sector show up on my doorstep. Very interesting. Very interesting indeed.
I don't like the word criminal.
Hmm?
Nothing.
Well, we have committed a bank heist and a prison bust in relatively short succession.
Bank heist, I was not involved in directly.
As I understand it, a getaway driver is still a criminal. But you know what? I don't like the word criminal either. We're all just businessmen.
Ugh. No, I don't like the word businessman.
That's my favorite. Where's that drink?
He pops the cork, and he starts pouring glass for you.
Excellent.
He takes some as well at a tumbler.
Good way to close a deal.
To new friends.
To new business partners.
I like that. Clink.
So he cheers with you, and he looks at the rest of you who are not drinking, and he looks at Tumas, who's still just eyeing him.
And that seems like a great place to cut this session.
And we star wipe.
This one thanks you for listening to this episode of Roll One. If you enjoyed listening, please rate us on iTunes. And most importantly, tell your friends about us. Also, follow us on Facebook or on Twitter at Roll One Podcast. Levo 3 is played by Tom Wilson, who can be found on Instagram with the name I'm T Dubs. Tumask is played by John Barcello, who can be found on Instagram with the name John Barcello. Bosh Trebia is played by Evan Bashi, who can be found on Twitter at BoshTunes. Flint Cross is played by Alfonso Giansanti II, who can be found on Instagram with the name Funzalicious. Roll One is produced and game mastered by Jake Lucas, who can be found on Twitter at J.A. Lucas, or on stage with his sketch team, Candy Ass, at the People's Improv Theater. The Star Wars Edge of Empire, Age of Rebellion, and Force and Destiny role-playing games belong to Lucas Books and Fantasy Flight Games. All music is by Nerd Salad, who can be found on Facebook or on Twitter at Nerd Salad. Stay tuned for the next thrilling episode of Roll One. Until then, may the Force be with you.